What is going on, guys? Welcome to the Think Computers Weekly Tech Podcast. It is episode 290, and our podcast is brought to you by Amazon. If you go to thinkcomputers.org/Amazon and happen to purchase something, that gives us a little kickback and keeps the podcast on going. With me is my co-host, Ryan. What's going on?
What's going on? You left me hanging right before our countdown. We were talking about something, and then that just like takes over and I can't see or hear you. So yeah. Other than that, I'm great.
We were talking about NVMe drives. And I was saying that I want to get that. I forget who makes it. It's called like the aircraft carrier. It's called something like that, where like it holds like 8 NVMe drives, or I forget how many NVMe drives. It's a PCI Express card that holds, gotcha. I think, 8
just multiple drives. Cards.
Yeah, 8 NVMe drives. And I really want it, but it's incredibly expensive. And
I'm sure.
But that's what we were talking about before we got on here. But I do have another Amazon story, since we always talk about Amazon at the start of this podcast. So I ordered something yesterday at 10 a.m.
Okay.
And, I like normal shipping, it's supposed to come today, right? So like last night, I'm just like relaxing, and then like my Alexa goes off and is like, your package was delivered. I'm like, what? And it's the first time I've ever got like, just, you know, normal, it's supposed to be like 2 day shipping, you know, but it's the first time I've ever ordered something and got it the same day from Amazon. Have you ever?
No.
Got, yeah.
But we do have a distribution center here now, like pretty close to us, but I still haven't gotten anything same day.
Yeah, so it was
maybe next day, but never gotten anything same.
Typically, it's always, for the most part, I assume if it's in the distribution center, which I assume is around here close, I assume that I'll get it the next day. But it was pretty cool to like get it, you know, 10 hours later or whatever it was.
Pretty cool. Yeah, now, did you have that? What was your turnaround time in Pittsburgh? Was it usually 2 days?
It was like a day and a half or 2 days max, but yeah, it was pretty cool. And again, I was not like I paid for like rush shipping or anything like that, just the normal Prime shipping. So, that was pretty cool. That's my Amazon story, for the week, but let's jump into tech. 'Cause obviously this is a tech podcast. And if you guys want to follow along, we do have our full show notes page that is linked in the description of wherever you're watching this video. Or you just go to thinkcomputers.org and you can find it. But it has everything that we're going to be talking about this week. And let's first start with a motherboard. It's been that long, I guess, since I reviewed a motherboard. But it's been, I would say, like, a couple months since I reviewed a motherboard, maybe. Mm-hmm. Something like that. Let me bring this back up. For some reason, none of my pictures are loading on the page, but we'll bring it up anyways. It is the ASRock Z590 Phantom Gaming ITX TB4. And if these pictures don't pop up for me for some reason, don't know why they're not popping up, I will go get the board. And I think that's what's going to happen. But this is a Z590 mini ITX board. There's not a ton out there. But let Ryan talk to you for a second. We'll actually go grab the board since none of the pictures are loading on the website.
No, they were loading up for me. Let me pull this up here. Oh, you're just gonna go full screen me. That's fine. I'm always intrigued by ITX and motherboards. I keep telling myself that's what I want to build for my next one. So that's kind of where I think I'm going to go. I'm not a big fan. I'm just ranting about boards in general because I didn't actually get to read this review yet. I like the dark colors on this board, but I hate when there's like a primary color outside of like black, white, and maybe like gray or silver. The red, just to me, I'm one of those people that likes most of my components to match as much as I can. So the red stuff always bothers me. And I probably mentioned that on every review we do, that I just am not a fan.
All right, I'm back. And I reloaded the page and it's loading now after I went and picked the board up anyways. And Marco's in the chat. He said, why do you always got to break shit? Yeah, I don't know what happened. Nothing was loading. It's my awesome fiber internet that just, I guess, shit the bed.
Pages.
Apparently, but wait, this isn't even the right board.
Oh man,
I picked up the ASRock
AMD board.
Yeah, so let's just, I'm just messing up left and right tonight, it feels like.
Sorry, your page is loaded, you're all good.
We're 6 minutes into the podcast, so this is awesome. But yeah, so we'll bring it up now. As Ryan was saying, Phantom Gaming Board, so it's gonna have that, hopefully these load, yep. Oh, no problem. It's gonna have the Phantom Gaming look, which is red and black basically. And the board, this board is pretty much all black. There's not a whole lot of room to do a whole lot of design because it is mini ITX. Some of the major features of this board, one of them is that it does have a 10-phase VRM. That's 8 phases for the CPU and 2 phases for the SoC. And they're using really good power delivery components on this as well. So I used a i9-11900K, no problem with that whatsoever. It can handle it even when we threw everything at it. No overheating on those VRMs either. You also have, because it is Z590, you have PCI Express 4.0. You are going to get that in, of course, the only PCI Express slot, because it is mini ITX right here. And then this big heatsink is covering an M.2 slot, and that will also be Gen 4. If you have an 11th gen CPU, you have a 10th gen CPU, there's actually a slot on the back for you, so you're not left without one. But if you have an 11th or 10th gen CPU, the top slot or the main slot right here, that is not going to work at all for you. So other things on this board, you have Thunderbolt 4. Which is good to see as well. So it's on the rear I/O of the board. Only 5 USB ports, which I think is a little...
Yeah, it seems a little low.
Yeah, I would have liked to see more. You have 2.5 gig LAN. You have Wi-Fi 6E. Clear CMOS button, which is good to see, especially in a small board like this, where if you had a jumper, I don't even want to think about ripping all my components out to find the header. Or if it was on the board itself, again, still very hard in a small situation. The only good thing about having the Thunderbolt 4 on the back here is that you could add a dongle if you wanted to do USB 3.2 Gen 2x2. You don't have a 2x2 header on the back. These are all USB 3.2 Gen 2. I know it's confusing again with all the different USBs, but it's not that none of these are the 2x2. You do get 2x2 on the board by a header. You can see the header right here. 3 SATA ports. It would have been nice to have 4. I know this is a small board, but again, even most mini ITX boards... Well,
that one port is on the other side of your DIMMs, right? So yeah, now you got this cable that's like, you either have to get maybe an odd-shaped 90-degree to go down and around, or you've got this cable going up and over your memory.
Yeah.
Kind of odd placement, but...
Yeah. So as far as like feature set, you're getting everything that you would want on a Z590 board for the most part. This is one of the few ITX boards that does offer Thunderbolt 4. And again, like that rear 2x2 port that you don't get here, you can get that via Thunderbolt in a dongle if you really wanted to, and a bunch of other things as well through Thunderbolt 4. There is some RGB lighting on the board itself. Again, they look at my internet. It's just not working.
Yeah, you got that broken internet.
Is my video going out at all? Like,
no,
in,
you've been fine. I haven't noticed any issues.
There it goes now. So maybe my video is just, or maybe my internet, I don't know what's going on over here. But there is RGB. There's 3 RGB LEDs on the bottom of the board. These will actually illuminate pretty good, even if you have like a large graphics card. So you will get some nice underglow if that's something that you're into. You also have a standard header, a 4-pin header on the board, and a 3-pin addressable on the board as well. Overall, I think this is a really good board for Z590 and mini ITX. If we go to the end here, it has everything. There's in mini ITX, you are limited, but I think you're getting a lot with this. And again, with Thunderbolt 4, you can add some of the things that aren't there. By way of a dongle, if you really wanted to. Again, Gen 4 for storage, as well as your PCI Express slots. Great cooling. Looks are pretty, I mean, they're not like crazy, but again, this is very small, so you're not going to see it all that much necessarily. Great VRMs, great cooling on those VRMs. Nothing to really complain about, except for, again, three SATA ports, and the one is in the weird location. Also, I always say on all new motherboards, I would rather have the USB 3.2 Gen 2 by 2. I would rather have that on the rear than a front header, because a lot of cases don't support it, and I would just always want access to that port on the back first rather than the front. That's just me. That's just how I am. But I gave it a 9 out of 10. It's selling for $269.99, which I think is a good deal for what all you're getting. It's, like I said, it's a nice little ITX board. And again, it's crazy. I always say this, like, how much they're able to stick on these boards, right? Yeah,
Wi-Fi 6 as well, right?
Yep. Yeah, Wi-Fi 6E, yes. So, cool. So yeah.
Now, did that have a fan in that... on the back panel, you know, there's some ventilation there. Is there an
active that is an active fan? It's not on during idle at all. During load, it does turn on. It is noticeable, but probably, I mean, I was in an open air test bench where you could hear it more, but like, I don't think you're going to hear it all that much. But during idle, it is off completely. So just keep that in mind, I guess, if you're considering this board. But overall, like I said, I think it's a good board. I think it's priced well, and I think it has, there isn't a feature that I'm like, wow, it doesn't have that, minus the SATA port, really. And again, we're moving away from SATA to PCI Express NVMe storage anyways. Yeah, I mean,
you've already got two M.2s. You could load this up with some pretty decent storage if you really wanted to.
Yeah, so, and it's nice to see too, I didn't mention that the PCI Express slot is metal reinforced with such a small board. It is nice to have that if you're, again, putting a larger graphics card on this as well too. And the entire board is wrapped in, I didn't mention that, let's see if I don't break things. I can show you the back. The back is wrapped in metal as well. Extra stability, and it helps with cooling as well. So, you know, yeah. So definitely check the board out, and we'll move on to a completely different review, which is an energy drink. And I think you and I both I think if you're a computer person or you're just like somebody in general, I think we all have our vices, and one of those is either coffee or an energy drink or energy drinks of some sort. For me, it's Monster for the most part. White Monster is like, that's my thing. This company called Juju Energy, which I'm actually drinking right now, they reached out to us and said, you want to try Juju out? And I've tried G Fuel. I know you have as well, Ryan. And I've tried Sneak, which we reviewed maybe like a year ago, 2 years ago. Same type of thing. These come in these like tubs. Or you can get single serving packets, but it's basically like a powder form of an energy drink. You mix it with water. If you're familiar with G Fuel, it's the same type of thing. And again, this company reached out and I was like, yeah, like I'll give it a try. My biggest thing with any of these is if they taste good, because I've tried some of these that it just do not taste good at all. Like they just don't taste good. And I think too, a lot of the energy drinks, like you pick up at the store, don't taste good.
I'm pretty picky about the ones that I like will drink out of a can. I don't drink them that often anyways, but there's only a few that I enjoy drinking, right?
Yeah, so like I said, I think, and then too, I used to like live on Red Bull, and I can't even stand the taste of like normal Red Bull anymore. I don't know. So again, taste was the big thing. So we went into, you know, I've had these for a couple weeks, and I've been using them as my energy drink instead of a Monster or something else. We actually have a video of all, I taste tested the five flavors. That's all in the video if you guys want to check it out. But they offer a total of 9 flavors, a different assortment of flavors as well. And my biggest thing is like, does this work and does it taste good? As I said, it does taste good. My favorite flavor is the, which I'm drinking right now, is the Tropical Juggernaut. It tastes so, it's like, because I have the G Fuel Tropical Rain flavor, which I'm a big fan of. It tastes better than that. It's like the perfect I'm on a beach feeling of a drink. Mm-hmm. It's like really that good. So all the flavors that I was sent taste really good. And then as far as like energy, this has 180 milligrams of natural caffeine, which is a little bit different than say, like, I guess you would say normal caffeine, or, you know, natural caffeine, at least according to them, doesn't give you the jitters, or it doesn't, and it doesn't give you the crash after. So yeah. Like if I go to Starbucks and I get, it's always a warm drink. It's not a cold drink. I don't know if that's any difference, but like, sure. If I get a warm Starbucks coffee, like 2 hours after I drink it, I'm ready for bed. Like that's the crash off of the caffeine. I don't know what it is.
I don't ever get that caffeine crash.
But it's so weird. But if I get a cold drink from Starbucks, it doesn't happen. But in any case, crashing off caffeine is a real thing, at least for me in that instance it is. So having caffeine that doesn't give you the crash, and also having caffeine that doesn't give you jitters. I forget the name of this drink that I tried one time. It was an energy drink and I drank it and I felt like my heart was going to explode. Also, if you've ever done like pre-workout, and like some pre-workouts are like
amped up,
they're not good for you. And like, you feel like your heart's about to. So none of that with this either. Also another big thing, is that when you shake it up, you know, you can get a shaker. When you shake it up, it's not like chalky or it doesn't have a weird aftertaste. It's all smooth. That's good. It's all good. So the caffeine, I could definitely feel it throughout the past week using this. And then it also has, what is it called? It's called Loot Max 2020, which is basically to support eye health. And it helps with eye strain from looking at a computer or a computer screen all day. I don't necessarily didn't notice it all that much. I don't think you're going to, but if it's in there and they say it helps, I'm all for it. Bunch of different vitamins in here as well. Antioxidants. Also pink Himalayan salt is in here. So if you do drink caffeine, you know that it makes you dehydrated. That's just how caffeine works. So that will give you electrolytes to kind of help with that as well. So a lot of interesting flavors. I go over a lot of interesting ingredients. I go over a lot of it in the review and in the video. But the biggest thing for me is that this does taste good. Variety of flavors, all the flavors that I had were good. And it's cheap too. So, I mean, it's not cheap, but so a big tub like this is $35.99, which makes it, I think, that's like $1.19 per serving. So if you think about that, if you go to the store, you get a Monster, that's probably $2, if not more. Red Bull, at least $2. I think Red Bull's like three something now. You know, any of the energy drinks are well over $2. So $1.19 a serving, which you get 30 servings in these tubs. They also have single serve packs that you can buy in. You can get 4 single serving packs for $5.99. I think, why not give it a try, right? If it's going to help. You know, I'm a fan of it.
Sugar-free, right? No sugar?
Yeah, zero sugar. Depending on the flavor, it's 3 to 4 carbs. So if you are on a zero-carb diet, that might not be the best thing. But not a whole lot of carbs in there. And again, zero sugar. So if you are doing a zero-sugar diet, you can have this as well.
And there's black pepper in there and...
Yeah, there's a lot of different stuff in here. But like I said, it does taste good. Like, again, I said in my video, like, this tropical juggernaut, like, put some alcohol in here, and I'm like, I'm good to go.
Good to go, huh? Nice. And they have shakers as well, right?
Yeah, so you can get and you can buy the shakers separately. You can get, so again, this is $35.99 for the tub, but you can get a tub with a shaker for $39.99, which isn't bad. And then you can get, I believe, a starter single serve pack that I believe has eight single serving packs plus the shaker for $15.99. So it's not, like I said, it's not all that expensive to give it a try. I would honestly do the single serving packs if you're not sure which flavor you'd like. You can try a bunch of different flavors for very low cost and then see which one works for you. But at the end of the day, it's an energy drink. And from what's in it, and again, they're very transparent too. The thing that I liked is you see these energy drinks, a bunch of different ones, and you look on the back and it has like the normal stuff like vitamin B12 and caffeine and stuff like that. And then you go down and then it says like proprietary blend and you have no clue what that is, right? But everything is on the label. So it's kind of nice to see as well. So like I said, it works. I like it. It's targeted towards gamers, but I think anybody could make use of this. So yeah, I'll have to send you over some of this to try. I don't know which one would be your favorite. Which out of all the flavors, if you can look at the review, which
you had? There was a bomb pop one. What else did you have?
So the ones that I had,
watermelon.
Bomber pop, which is made to taste like a red, white, and blue popsicle. Blue raspberry, tropical juggernaut, which I am drinking, grape sickle, and watermelon crush.
Is the creamsicle flavor? Like no, more sweet? Or is it more just like a regular grape?
It's like a grape.
Yeah, that's the one I would want.
Yeah. The grape's good. They also have green apple, horchata, and pina colada as well. I'm interested on that pina colada because I always think pina colada needs to be like a thick because you're like a normal pina colada, but it would be interesting to see that flavor. But yeah, like I said, guys. I think if you're either a gamer and you just want to, you know, you drink energy drinks till your late gaming sessions, or if you're a streamer, or if you're just somebody trying to get through the day like me, that's what I do. I drink an energy drink after lunch literally every day. So, you know, it's worth giving a shot. And again, it's not all that expensive. And you can get them on Amazon. So you don't have to go. You can go to jujuenergy.com or you can buy them on Amazon as well. They have all their different tubs, and I think some of the single serve packs are on there as well on Amazon. So yeah, it's worth a shot.
Handy to get, yeah.
Yeah. In the live chat, we have Old Man. He said he just got back from work. Well, it's good to see you here and good that you're off work. We'll be working for a little bit longer here, and then we're going to get into some gaming, of course, after the podcast. But let's move on to Case Mod Friday, where we take a look at a case mod. And I have to say, this one is really, really cool.
Yeah.
Another small form factor build, basically made to be like a living room PC. This is called Emu Station, and this is from Killer Mods. And the fact, and I've seen this case, this case is the Inwin Choppin, which is like super, super, super small. And the fact that he was able to do liquid cooling in here and integrates basically a panel on the side here that also acts as a heat sink. It's really cool. So to show you just like how small this case really is, I mean, there it is. And that's a mini ITX board that basically takes up the entire part of the case. They have this incredibly tiny radiator right here. A bunch of fans up here. And then basically the other side is this... I mean, it's basically a reservoir, a pump, and the part of the GPU block.
Yeah, they've got a custom GPU block for the 1050 Ti, I think, in this.
Yeah.
I saw this build a while back. It wasn't too long ago because this is a pretty new build, but I just love the little cutout at the bottom for the three little, I think, 30 millimeter fans for the radiator. And it's, it's a small Alpha Cool radiator that they used there. Yeah, you can kind of see those fans that blow across. But just like the custom back plate, side plate for this is awesome.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah, it's just so cool because it's like you know, you could just build a normal ITX system, but it's like, no, let's get some water cooling in here. You can see the tubing going up into the other side. Because this is made for emulation, made a custom joystick, Aorus kind of joystick as well, which is really cool. You can see the back of it there. That's really cool as well. I would love... It's so fun playing games with like a joystick like this, right? Just like the feel of the buttons.
Yeah, like a MAME arcade cabinet.
Yeah. That'd be really cool. But this build... It's so tiny too.
Like
it's so, so tiny.
That's awesome.
Yeah. He gets, you know, and just to give you an idea of the size again, like here it is with
the controller.
Yeah. Just like a controller.
Well, and you look at the back panel and it's like all it is your IO ports, you know, for the most part. Like,
yeah,
you've got the IO, you've got your video card, you know, to the side of that, and then an opening, which I believe is for the power connection.
Yeah. Just a cool.
It's pretty neat.
It's like, again, it's just so impressive. I mean, this back alone, but just the fact that, like, you saw this case and you're like, yes, I'm going to water cool the whole thing and it's all going to fit. And it's not going to be like, and the thing that's great about this is, like, it all does fit and there's no, like, crazy radiator on the side or anything mm-hmm. like that, right? It's all in this small little form factor.
Well, I can't tell. Does that copper plate that's on the outmost side, is that exposed to the air? And when the fluid's running to the sides of it, it's going to radiate heat? Because there's no fluid in those channels, right? You see what I'm
interesting.
Saying?
Yeah. I'm not sure. So
I wasn't sure if that there's like a cutout on that plastic as well that's exposing that copper to the outside or not.
I don't know. I wish we had the build log. There was no build log on this one that I could find. So, but check it out. We have Killer Mods Facebook here linked. You can check it out. But yeah, just a really, really cool small form factor build. I love these things. So go ahead and check that out. And move on to news. Not a ton of news. Again, we're getting ready for some launches, obviously. But we do have some leaks and some interesting things. The first is for Intel graphics cards, which we've been patiently awaiting for.
Yep.
What? A while. 2 years?
A couple of years.
2 years?
Yeah, it feels like it.
Yeah. So a new slide has been leaked. And basically, it's showing that on the Intel Arc Alchemist, again, the Alchemist is the desktop, consumer desktop segment from Intel. They came out with their naming. Ryan and I don't know about...
It's kind of growing on me, but
it's just so... Yeah, it's like, I don't know. But I guess that's just Intel trying to maybe be a little bit more, you know, not Intel. Maybe. I don't know. But it looks like we will have 3 SKUs in the Alchemist series, which I think is good. I think a lot of people might have thought it would have been 1. Like, we don't know. We've only heard of a couple SKUs, and we don't know really what's coming. I mean, I have no clue what's coming. But you can see kind of where at least, you know, some of them might sit. You'll see a 75 watt part, you know, around the between $100 to $200 range, and then you'll see a 175 watt to 225 watt part. You would say 300 to 500, and again, you'll probably see at least 2 SKUs in this higher segment for sure.
Can you imagine though? A new GPU in the $100 to $150 range, like I bet if they can deliver that, how many of those do you think they're gonna sell?
Well, here's the thing. Here's a couple things. One, can you imagine it and it be available where you can actually buy it?
For $150.
This is gonna be really good. Not even on the enthusiast side of things, because we want the enthusiast part, but the mainstream or entry level parts are going to be great for system integrations and those small systems and those business systems where you don't need a big GPU, right?
Right. And they just need more, you know, GPU ports, right? They need more HDMI or display port. And then
what's going to be the thing is, I know, you know, say like a big, like a Dell or an HP, Intel's going to say, well, we'll bundle these two together. We'll bundle this with the CPU and give you a deal over, you know, buying our CPU and then buying an AMD or an NVIDIA card to put in there. Like, we'll give you this sweet deal and it's going to be good for them on that side. But yeah, we talked about this when Ryzen came out. It's not often we get excited about hardware in the sense of like something new coming along, right? And it's not often we get something really new and groundbreaking coming along. And A new serious entry into the GPU space is always going to be exciting. So I'm excited to see what these, one, what the Intel, like actual non AIB cards look like, what the AIB cards, if there's going to be AIB, like what the whole deal is. So we'll definitely keep you guys updated on that. Also, we have some Alder Lake leaks. First, it looks like MSI confirmed the Alder Lake launch date. Yes. So they, a lot of companies are coming out now with like upgraded kits for their CPU coolers because we do have a new socket. And I assume it's a little bit different. So you basically, they're coming up with these upgrade kits so you can use the same CPU cooler on the new socket or on the new motherboard. So you don't have to buy an all new CPU cooler on top of buying a new CPU and all of that. Okay. So MSI released this and talked about their Core Liquid R MPG or MPG Core Liquid K series upgrade kit. And they said that the kit will be available starting on November 4th, which people ask questions. So why is it November 4th? And then basically it was confirmed that that's the launch date for the processors. So there's going to be an event or an announcement on October 27th, November 4th, sales and reviews of the products will be available, I guess.
Okay. That's coming up.
Oh, yeah. It's coming up, man. It's launch season. We're coming in. In our live chat, we have Kosher Tech. I told him to be here. So I guess he's
here.
He's not super late either. He usually comes in with like 10 minutes left. We got at least another 20 minutes of a podcast going, I would say. So Kosher, good to see you here as well. And I did go outside. He told me I needed to get outside today. So I did go for a walk just for Kosher. So but yeah, so I'm excited for that. That for me, that means new motherboards. I always good to see new motherboards. So that is exciting. Talking about the new chips, though, a new benchmark. It seems like we get benchmarks every week as we get closer to these launch dates. New benchmark, Core i9-12900K, which will be the flagship part. In a single thread benchmark, it's 27% faster than the Ryzen 9 5950X. Now, I do have to say, and I think we had another single thread benchmark before that was kind of like the same thing. And it's going to beat it because it's single thread, right? The 5950X is a 16-core part. And again, we don't know multi-core. It wasn't shown in this benchmark. It's actually the score is grayed out or blurred out right here. So we don't know the multi-core performance, but single core. And again, Intel processors are usually clocked a little bit higher as well. So you're going to get better single core there too, but it does get you a little bit excited, right? I mean, 27% faster than a 5950X in single core. I mean, that's a little something to get excited about.
It's exciting. Will it be enough to like steer me towards Intel for my next build? I don't know. Maybe because I've got that itch again.
Yeah. I've had an itch. So the past couple of days, and this is completely unrelated, but like I've had an itch to I've been wanting to upgrade my main PC, and we've talked about this. So I spec'd out a whole, like the stuff that I have most of it, but like I want to get a specific case and some other stuff. So I like put all that in an Amazon, like save for later. And then I was like, I need all this stuff for my living room. And so I put all that in an Amazon thing. And then I was like, I want to get a new camera bag. And then I like want to get a new all this stuff. So I have like thousands of dollars worth of stuff in Amazon save for later that I like eventually want to buy. And talking about that, I think I put it on Twitter, on my personal Twitter. I now know what it feels like to like all these people who can't get GPUs. I've been looking for the same monitor arm, same one. It's been in my save for later. I literally check it every day to see if it's in stock. It has not been in stock for 2.5 months.
Oh man.
Can't get it. And the reason I want it is because the company is like rated really well. Because again, this is a 49-inch monitor that I have in front of me and I don't want it to break.
You don't want to put it on a cheap stand, have it drop and fall. Yep.
Two, it's white and there's not a whole lot of white ones out there. And what's really nice about it is the way that this company does does their, like, their mounts. You basically put this mount on the back of your monitor, and then you, like, clip the monitor in. So when I do monitor reviews, I don't have to basically, you know, undo all these screws. I can just unclip it, take it down, and then put, like, the monitor I'm reviewing right in front of me. So, yeah, I'm kind of upset about that. I haven't been able to find it. I can't find it. I literally, it's not just, like, on Amazon. I can't find it anywhere. Can't buy it on Newegg. Can't buy it. Yes. Okay. Like, if you can't buy it on, like, weird websites I've never heard of, like, you can't buy it anywhere. Interesting. Yeah. Kosher said, hit him up for a review. Yeah, I might actually do that. It might be a way to get it. I didn't even think about that because I've just been trying to get stuff because I want to finish this whole setup to make it more just easier to work in. But in any case, our next thing is another, it shows the Core i9-12900, which we've heard a lot about. And again, my pictures aren't loading again. My internet sucks tonight.
Do you think it's internet, or do you think it's a hosting issue?
I don't know. I've never seen this before.
Because, I mean, the page pulls, just not the
image. It could be. So all of our images are on AWS, Amazon AWS Web Services. Yeah, so now it loaded for me. So the Intel Core i9-12900, as I said, we know most of the information for the 12900K. It's been leaked for, like, weeks now. Non-K variants, reduced TDP to 65 watts. And it appears that somebody over at ASUS HQ forgot to, when they were doing the benchmark, they forgot to, like, turn off the network controller. So it just puts it online. And I've done this before by accident on some reviews.
Yeah, I think we talked about this with the Ashes.
Yeah, Ashes Singularity.
Story
yeah.
the other day, yep.
Yeah, so... but you could see benchmarks of it as well, and some DDR5 in here as well, some Micron DDR5. Cool. So, it's, again, these benchmarks, it's, you're not going to see all that much. CPU base clock speed of 2.4 gigahertz, turbo up to 4.25. I'm sure that base clock is not correct. And again, it's an ES too. So, when we talk about all these leaks, because we're going to see a lot more coming up to the launch here, a lot of these ones, even right now, I believe are ES samples, which they're close to the finished product, but they're not like a retail chip. Also, drivers, motherboard drivers, things aren't done yet. So keep that in mind. And I like we always say with any product, especially when it comes to CPUs, GPUs, wait for the reviews to come out on whenever that day is. So you're well informed, so you know what this is all about. Don't take that 27% better in single core and then you get it and you're not happy with it or whatever. Just make sure you do your due diligence when it comes to reviews. And then we have the thing that I was most excited about when I saw this week, and I didn't even realize this because I haven't been thinking correctly lately. But PCI Express 5.0 SSDs featuring 14 gigabytes a second bandwidth could debut in Q4 of 2021. How do you feel about that? How do you feel about that?
I feel like we just got Gen 4, but 14 gigs is crazy.
Yeah.
You know, I feel like we've just kind of gotten through a grouping of what you've kind of called the Gen 2 of Gen 4, right? The second round where we bumped up to that 7,000 megabytes speed, and now we're ready to double it. I mean, great.
That's technology, man. Yeah. So, Kioxia. They showcased their next generation PCI Express 5.0 by 4 CD7 series prototype SSD. The PCI Express 5.0 X4 interface will offer a maximum available bandwidth of 16 gigabit per second. Fast. Very fast. I mean, I was super excited when we got Gen 4 NVMe SSDs. I was like, whoa, we're moving from 3,500 to 5,000. And then on these, as Ryan said, the second generation ones were up to 7,700, 7,500 megabytes a second. And just think, when PCI Express 5.0 gets standardized on motherboards, we'll see that number double.
Yeah.
Which is just crazy to think about. You know, 16 gigabytes a second.
We're at the point where, what are you doing that's that fast?
Rendering,
I guess. Moving large files. But
I mean, it's again, the it's just, I mean, even the Gen 4 drives that I have, I mean, yeah, it's like it makes it a little bit faster, but it is completely unnecessary for most people. You know, right. I think 3,500 megabytes a second on Gen 3 is still fast. Yeah,
absolutely.
So, but yeah, I'm excited for it. I want the speed. Give me the speed.
I want
the speed, man. That's all I want is the speed. So yeah, that is exciting. New product launch this week from Asus. And my pictures aren't loading again.
Oh.
I think it's AWS, because like you said, the website's loading fine.
See, but let me see if I pull something up. Yeah, all the pictures are loading just fine for me right away.
It could be my...
But you could be hitting a different data center or something.
Yeah. Damn internet. And I don't think it would be my internet, because again, you're seeing me fine. Like, I'm not pixelating in the thing, right?
No, you look fine.
Well, while I try to wait for this to load, or Ryan, if you want to share your screen so we can see this, because it's giving me broken images. We'll see what's going on in the chats. Old Man says he just updated his BIOS on my X570 Tough Board, was getting some random crashes while gaming, so I hope it helps. Yeah, always keep your BIOSes updated, not only for fixes like that, but like security reasons. I mean, we had that big issue with Intel, it was a year ago or a year and a half, maybe 2 years ago now. Always update your BIOS. Also, they do add support for faster memory. So like when like a motherboard launches, especially if it's like right at launch, it will say support up to 3,600 megahertz memory, just say. And then through BIOS updates, it will support all the way up to 4,000 or 4,400. So BIOS updates, number one thing for security, stability, all that stuff, always update your BIOS. And then Old Man also said PCI 5.0 SSD in Q4, and I'm looking at a WD Blue 4 terabyte on Newegg for $58.99. Yeah, there was
I couldn't tell if he's like the speed difference versus capacity, but I was like, oh, that's funny. But then at the same time, I'm like, it's kind of nice that you can buy a 4 terabyte drive for $60 now.
Yeah, Western Digital did have still not loading. Western Digital had stuff on sale on Amazon today, and they never have, because see it. They had 4 terabyte WD Red for, I think, $70.
That's pretty
WD Red Plus.
I've got this shared if you wanted to go back to that Asus.
Yeah.
Story. Unless it was working for you, but either way.
Now nothing's loading up. My internet, I don't know what it is. Maybe it's because I'm on Wi-Fi. Maybe my Wi-Fi 6.
You used up all your Amazon luck with that early delivery.
I know, that was it. But yeah, real quick. So, yeah, 4 terabyte NAS drives on sale today. The 6 terabytes, which is in my NAS, they never go on sale. Never. That's just the capacity. Yeah, 8 terabyte goes on sale all the time. 10 terabyte sometimes even goes on sale. 4 terabyte always on sale. 6 terabyte never on sale. But yeah, we'll bring up.
Speaking of those updates, I did update my video driver before the podcast too, so you can stop blaming that on. All right. So yeah, it looks like Asus has some new white peripherals. It sounds like they're Moonlight White gaming peripherals.
Yeah, and these
are like impossible to get, or at least I've never seen them outside of like a show or, you know, CES or something. They just I feel like Asus peripherals are not found in the US. You probably order them and get them. I just never
seen them. I mean, I haven't been to a Best Buy lately. But yeah, Asus like keyboard mice are hard to find, but I love these. I think the silver and the white go great, and they're Asus, so Asus fans are going to like that. And it's nice that they have the entire like collection. So keyboard, mouse, headset, earbuds, I think that's what's in this. That's the mouse. I mean, all together. So on your end, Ryan, I'm not cutting out at all.
No.
Like my video looks good because I can't even load the website now. I think our website's just
fine to me.
Just
not... But yeah, these look pretty good. The headset looks like it could be or feel a little cheap. It looks very plasticky to me.
I think there's metal under there, but I could be wrong.
Underneath there, yeah, there could be, but just all the exterior
plastic. But it's nice to have a whole set, right?
Yeah. Yeah, matching peripherals, absolutely. It bugs me that I don't have the same brand of keyboard and mouse. I just try and ignore it.
Well, yeah.
But yes, it obviously, I mean, they're both black, so that's fine. But yeah, when you like go for this aesthetic and you can get something like, I've been a big fan of the look, and I'm considering getting them for work, the Razer like Pro type keyboard and the
mouse. I've heard good things about those. I know there's people that don't like Razer,
positive things about it. And especially after that vulnerability that they had, but I've been considering those, or at least trying them out.
Yeah, I like these Moonlight. And again, I think a lot of companies are doing white. SteelSeries also announced some interesting white products this week as well.
Pricing
I think
looks pretty good as well.
Yeah, I mean, these things aren't crazy expensive. I mean, a
$50 mouse, that's not bad.
Yeah, I mean, you can't charge much more for a mouse like that, right?
No, I mean, Yeah.
But in any case, I think they're cool. So check those out for sure. And if you want to bring up the next story, because I don't know what's going on over here. I can't bring up anything. But for our last story of the week, now I don't know this, and I was thinking about this. Microsoft 11 or Windows 11.
Windows 11.
Is it going to be like a Mac, or is it going to be like you can only get apps from the App Store? Is that how it's going to be?
No.
Like you can't get an EXE.
No.
Well, in any case, they announced that they're going to support third-party app stores. So as you can see here, Epic Game Store, Amazon Store, it's all going to be available on Windows 11. But the interesting thing is that, so like you can get the Epic Game Store on Apple or, like on Apple devices and things like that. But Apple takes a cut of of Epic Game Store cut, basically. But Windows and Microsoft is not doing that. So you're going to see Epic Game Store through the Microsoft Store. You're going to see Amazon Store. They said Steam is going to be coming this way as well. So good on Microsoft if they keep to that, right? If they keep to not taking a cut like Apple does, right?
Does it say Microsoft Store up here? Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
It's just weird to have a, yo, dog, I heard you like stores, so we put a store inside your store so you can store.
Yeah, but that's what made me think, because I was like, well, if I want the Epic Game Store, I'll just download the
EXE. I'm just going to download it, right, and run that outside of.
But that's what made me think, is Windows 11 going to be like, you can only get stuff from the App Store officially?
Think about that, though. Windows 10 end of life like support, I think, is 2025. That, like, think of all of every industry and all the programs that are still just a straight executable. Like, that's not enough time to give people to read.
And I don't
program, right?
There's I do think for like newbies, they're like, oh, Windows Store, this is where I get all my apps, you know.
Yeah,
We did see some companies, like, they did force it, like HyperX, their Ingenuity. App is Ingenuity is Windows Store only.
Yeah.
So not that Microsoft forced that, but it's, you know, like I said, I mean, good on Microsoft, honestly, for not taking a cut, right? Because I think Apple takes 30% of the Epic Game Store, 25%.
They could and make some, like, they could take such a small sliver, like, we want 1%, right? Or 0.5%, and they'd still make, you know, a decent amount of money. But speaking of, like, newbies and stuff, I read an article, and this is just off the cuff, but it was about how, like, college-age kids and kids going through high school that are using these computers, like, don't understand what a folder and directory structure are and like where files exist. They're just so used to like the app or the device taking care mm-hmm. of all of that for them. And it was a good read. And I felt that way for a long time. Like when I worked in higher education, I was already noticing that, you know, like five, almost 10 years ago that like you'd ask somebody, well, where'd you save it? And they're like, I don't know. Well, what do you mean you don't know? Like, did you save it in your downloads? Did you put it on a flash drive? Like, what folder did you put it in? And to me, like, I can't get my head around not organizing my files in a logical structure.
That's what's crazy. So like I have an iPad, and like when you save a file on an iPad, it's not like a normal file structure. And it's just like, what the actual F is this? Like, it's just like, where did it go? And then like, it's in you even use. So like using trying or, you know, like I use like iPad OS or whatever it's called, iOS, for like that was for a while. I used that as like my laptop because that's all I really needed it for, was like email and stuff. And just like the nuances of one operating system to another is just wild, like wildly different. And you're like completely lost, you know? But yeah, that's what I mean. Yeah. Kids these days, they're like, they have no clue what, you know, there's like these memes I've seen, like, what's this icon on my computer that looks like a computer on my desktop? Like, what does that mean? Or like, you know, you see all that kind of stuff. It's crazy to think about, because again, we had to learn all that. Like, you know, because you couldn't just have an app that did what you did. You had to go in and install it and change files. And, you know, even, you know, you had to code or change the code and do all kinds of stuff. So, that's some interesting stuff. Yeah, but that is the news for the week. Obviously, not a whole lot going on this week, but next week we have some pretty cool products to take a look at. I'm taking a look at a keyboard that I've been interested in for a while. The IQNIX A80 Explorer wireless mechanical keyboard. It's wired as well, and it comes with a cable that matches the keyboard. So I use IQNIX F96, which is my favorite keyboard ever, and they have a lot to live up to, because this keyboard is amazing that I have. And you know, that's kind of where they made the name for themselves, I think, is, you know. But basically, this is a newer version, not a newer version, but a newer keyboard from them. Again, really cool color design. I think that's kind of what set them apart initially, was out of the box, you didn't have to buy other keycaps. So this has really cool, I guess, like a, what color would you call this?
It's like it's almost a slate gray, like a slate blue or a slate.
Yeah, gray. It's a slate blue with yellow and white. And then this entire back part of this, let me see if I can find a picture of the side of the keyboard. Like it kind of so angles cool. up. Yeah, it angles up. So that's kind of interesting. Type C connector and all that kind of stuff. So I'm really excited to take a look at this. So definitely stay tuned for that next week. Also be looking at some DDR4 memory from Mushkin. This is their Redline Lumina, which is the Redline is like their high-end DDR4, and this is their RGB version. So we'll take a look at that as well. And then Ryan will be taking a look at the HyperX SoloCast, which you have with you, right? You have it?
Yeah. It's not hooked up, so I could just...
Oh, yeah.
Nice little microphone.
So, this is HyperX.
You can actually see the element inside there.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Very interesting. Yeah.
And this is their kind of entry level USB mic, I would say, right?
Yeah, you know, obviously better than a headset mic for sure. Entry level, yeah, you could call it that. I mean, it has features that I would consider above entry level in some instances, right? It's got the capacitive mute like we've seen on the Quadcast, but it doesn't have some of the other items at least built onto it, you know, like the Quad Hat Cast had the gain option right on it, and multiple polar patterns, so you could kind of adjust the microphone for your use case. We don't have have some of that in this. So it is more entry level and the price reflects that, right? You can see it right there. Their MSRP $60. Yeah. But still a good microphone for sure.
Cool. So Ryan will have that for you next week and we can talk all about how good it sounds and if it's worth picking up. In the chat, Old Man also said, isn't the NVIDIA control panel updated through Microsoft Store now? Not that I know of, because I mean, anytime I do testing and my test bench back there, I just download it. So I don't believe it's updated through the Microsoft Store. Yeah. And then Old Man also said, the number one upgrade most new YouTubers need is almost always a good mic. Yeah, I was looking back the other day at like some of my old YouTube videos where I used like not a lav or not like a studio mic. And it was just like, you could hear, it sounded so bad because I was just using a mic that was so far away from me. It wasn't like it should be when I didn't know much about sound. So yeah. So as we come here to the end and Ryan's going to get our stream up, we're going to be over on Twitch streaming. We talk about tech. We talk about if we did anything cool this past week. Why do I look so red right now?
Back to being...
I know. I'm so red. But yeah, did you do anything tech related? Did you... Nothing.
I don't think so. No, just been working with this microphone a little bit. No, nothing that cool.
Yeah, I've just been working on reviews. I've been trying to keep this office clean. So there's two windows that are right here in front of me, and there's like a main road out there. But because I'm in San Diego, it's like a lot of dust. And like anytime I have these windows open, even for a day, there's like dust all over my desk. It's like the worst. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to clean up. But I like that air coming in this room because it gets hot in this room.
Yeah.
But yeah, no real cool tech stuff. I actually bought some tech stuff, and I think I'm buying some other tech stuff just to mess around with, because I want to mess around with it. So we might be able to talk about that stuff next week.
Cool.
But as I said, we're going to be over on Twitch playing some Apex Legends, I believe. twitch.tv/thinkcomputers. Go over there. Ryan will have the stream up and we'll be playing some games. So if you want to keep on hanging out with us, definitely go over there. And just thanks everybody for coming out for the live stream. Thank you everybody who's listening later, of course. And again, we're here every Wednesday, typically every Wednesday, 8:30 p.m. Eastern, 5:30 p.m. West Coast time, if you want to hang out and talk tech. Until next week, we will catch you guys later.